Listen and enjoy the Deep Red Radio Pod.
Beim letzten Hardline Festival lieferten die Pierce Brothers aus den USA das Creature Feature The Ratchet ab. Eine wirkungsvolle Mischung aus Hexengrusel, Backwood Horror und Home Invasion mit zwei jungen Familien. Der Film ist einfach gedreht, aber vor allem im Kinosaal sehr ergiebig, was den Genrefaktor betrifft. Inspiriert von verschiedenen Hexenmythen, erzählen uns die Regisseure über ihre Idee und Umsetzung zum Film. Dabei fällt zuletzt noch ein interessantes Detail aus deren eigener Familiengeschichte, denn mit keinem geringeren als Sam Raimi hat ihr Vater beim originalen Tanz der Teufel gearbeitet. Hört rein in unser Interview mit den sympathischen Amis und begebt euch mit uns auf dunkle Pfade ins Reich verlorener Seelen. So, welcome to Hardline Festival, Brett and Drew Pierce, directors of The Ratched, a great creature feature with great practical effects and a great suspense.
Oh, thanks so much.
Story.
Thanks for having us.
How's your time in Germany and in Hardline? Give a short description.
We're having a blast. This festival is so cool. We've met so many cool people, and it's so much fun to get feedback on your movie, you know? See how people react to it.
Watching with an audience. So The Ratched is a story about, I hope I'd say it right, a wood woman, a creature feature. In the beginning, I thought it was like of a werewolf movie.
Yeah.
Because you show only little details of the creature. One time a practical effect of the foot or the hand,
yeah,
the claws. And at one scene, I loved it very much. I said it to him yesterday, sitting on the veranda. In the dark, and the eyes are glowing, and it remembered me of the first Predator movie, when nobody knows what
we'll
is this.
That.
What is this? It's very mythical. And
oh, that's one of our favorites. Yeah, that's actually funny because you know, we have a ton of horror scripts we've written, and this movie we actually gutted one of our werewolf scripts and took a lot of pieces from it. It was kind of a similar voyeuristic style movie, and we took a lot of the pieces from that and used it for this movie.
Yeah.
Very possibly could have been a werewolf hanging there on like the veranda, you know, if it was a different movie for us. So, yeah.
So please tell us just in short your first idea of this movie. How came it to this story? You also offer a very, I think, complex psychological moments between the adults and the kids. Was it inspired by your own life, maybe?
Yeah. In the movie, the lead character, Ben, is kind of facing his family breaking apart. Like it's pretty much there's an imminent divorce coming between his father and his mother. Drew and I came from a divorced family. Our parents got divorced when we were quite young. So it's definitely something that like just we work our way through it by making a movie about it. But for the witch stuff, it was just kind of, we loved the original movie, The Witches, and the Roald Dahl book, The Witches. And it was like a really creepy kids movie. And I think we kind of started with inspiration there that we just wanted to make a creepy witch movie again. And that just led to us reading a bunch of myths and folklore about different witches. So
yeah, we loved the idea of making a witch creature because we've seen, there's several like good witch movies, but a lot of times the witch turns out to be a ghost or some other element or you know, cast spells. But we wanted to figure out a way to kind of make a creature with its own rules. The same way like vampires, they used to be completely different, but they slowly developed all these rules and different weird, cool mythologies, you know, to make stories kind of like more interesting. Yeah, we just wanted to try and figure that out for a witch.
So you mostly tell the story as point of view of the kids. I always thought of maybe Joe Dante's The Burbs, when they watch over to the neighbors and what is this looking through the looking glass, and it's getting a very voyeuristic tense. Yes, the suspense from the kids' eyes. So you're sitting in the cinema and you're a kid again.
And
you transport that feeling very
There's something about movies, like voyeuristic movies, like people watching people. You know, Fincher always says we're all perverts to begin with. But there's something about it that, too, it helps you identify with a character, you know? And when a character's watching other people do things, it's kind of like watching, you know, your neighbor, you know? You sort of lean in and you're like waiting, like they could do anything. It's just exciting. So that was just our way into the story, you know?
the symbols and the mythological quality of the witches. You have the signs carved in the wood and certain buildings from the wood in the cellar. How long did you research, besides you're interested probably for witch stuff, in detail about this stuff? What did you read?
We got into, there are a couple of witches that we just got obsessed with. There's Black Annie, who's like this cool English witch, and was creature with like blue face and like fangs, you know. It's just kind of like these different mythologies. There's another myth called the Boo Hag, about a woman who comes to a small town and she marries a man, and every night she disappears and he doesn't know where she's going, and eventually he sees her walking away from the house and she's wearing no skin, and we're like, that's creepy. And then ultimately he winds up finding her skin like hung up in the dress, like in the closet, and he like salts her skin and she comes back and she burns alive. And we were just like, there's something there. There's something creepy I haven't seen, you know? And, you know, we played with that and a couple other myths and sort of found something we love.
Yeah. And then I think it was just important for us. We wanted to feel like a creature and a witch that's connected to nature. So we were kind of trying to visualize, like, would there be an animal that kind of represents her? And we just always kept on landing on like a stag or a deer. So we designed like her mask to reflect that. And we designed the symbol in the trees to reflect that, because we felt it kind of like made this connection to like, this thing's from the deep woods, kind of from the old world, which was the intent. So
yeah. The other witch that we were obsessed with was the Kaliak. That's actually like our production company name. It's like a winter witch. Yeah. Comes every winter and is kind of more about the seasons. It's sort of like a benevolent witch in a lot of ways, but a little creepy. So we wanted to figure out a way to kind of like bring all that to life.
There's just a short insert for me. A very strong and interesting German film. It's called Hagazusa, plays in the Bavarian South Forest in winter. Mm-hmm. And it's about an old woman in former times who is possessed by a demon. And it's a very nihilistic movie, just in the wooden cabin with a daughter, and it's very atmospheric and tenseful. Also plays in the snow, in the dark. And that was one movie that we, a German genre audience, knew that the director would take this theme seriously.
Yeah.
And not just as a popcorn movie, I would say, but he very identified with this mythological witch stuff. And it also has to do with seasons, like you said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also have winter, of course.
Yeah.
So back to the idea of the theme, please help the audience and me. This was your directorial debut? No, it was...
We did one other feature. It's very different. It's a comedy, horror, about 7-8 years ago, called Deadheads. I think it's on Amazon Prime right now, if they want to check it out. But it's a totally different vibe. It's kind of a sweet movie. It's about two zombies who wake up amidst kind of like a zombie sort of finale from your typical kind of zombie movie. But they're cognizant and they basically realize like that one of them didn't propose to the girl he was in love with. So they go on a road trip to find the girl. And it's this sort of sweet, funny road trip movie that just happens to have zombies in it. It's a cool film. But yeah, then we kind of were embracing. We had a really low budget for that. I mean, it's put together with scotch tape and, you know, bubble gum. You know, this movie is probably more along the lines of our sensibilities and what we love and like to go watch. But it's still a great film. We're proud of it.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I met Joe Dante some years ago and he said he maybe did the first ZomCom called Burying the X, and that would be wrong by now because you said you
did
the first.
Yeah, he's definitely wrong. I saw that. I'm like, oh, look. We actually, especially like romantic rom-com zom, that's what people were calling us. After we hit, and it wasn't intentionally, but like there were several, there were like three or four of them. There was that Burying the X Warm Bodies, kind of very similar to ours. It's a little bit more of a Romeo and Juliet story about like a zombie and a human who fall in love, and they're from different worlds. And ours it has a little bit of a different vibe, but similar, you know.
And now I have a good question coming from your movie to some background, but starting with your movie again, you have the witch, the wooden witch, and this strong image of the tree with the roots going down in the earth, very dark, very materialistic stuff. You think in the cinema, I feel that tree. Mm-hmm. And this wooden witch reminded me, of course, of The Evil Dead by Sam Raimi, but also of The Guardian by William Friedkin, with the strong tree image.
Yeah.
coming back to that tree, you had a experience. I think it was your, Drew, or was it your, Brett?
The
experience. We had to do this now.
Okay, no, fine.
I'm sorry, yeah. You have to repeat it because our audience wants to hear it.
Yeah.
Your father worked with Sam Raimi on The Evil Dead.
Yes, he was the
creating the finale.
He was the photographic effects artist. He did the big, what they call the meltdown, the big finale meltdown in Evil Dead with another special effects guy named Tom Sullivan. So it's this amazing finale where this, yeah, everybody's seen it. It's this demon starts exploding and arms come flying out and the face melts and it crashes the floor and explodes. But like as kids, they were doing these effects in our basement. They were finishing the movie in our basement. And I was just like a 2-3-year-old kid. And I was just really curious, like, what's dad doing down in the basement? So I snuck down there and all the lights were off. And I just wanted to know, see what dad was doing. And I just saw this like horrific scene playing. They were literally projecting it on the wall of the meltdown sequence. So I just saw like gore splattering, arms coming out, this demonic face, like screaming. And then like, I was just horrified. And then the lights just turned on and they were showing the finale to Sam and all the guys to like see if they liked it. And then they all turned and realized like, oh my God, Bart's son is terrified and we've scarred him for life. So it just kind of, it's a memory that'll never leave me. And I've been afraid of basements ever since. So.
And you said you never watched horror movies since you were 16 years old, maybe?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a joke in a weird way because like, I hadn't watched Evil Dead till I was like 15 or 16 because I was too scared of it in some ways.
Yeah. I don't know if it was intentional, but our mom tortured us. Our basement was terrifying already. I had to go down. I used my big brother and I had to walk downstairs in the basement because our clothes were all in the basement, like our sock drawer. So every morning we'd go down and Brett wouldn't go downstairs to get socks unless I'd go with him. And it was just one of those really eerie, you know, Midwest basements. It's got like a really loud sort of thunderous,
heat. Oh, it's got like a furnace.
Creepy. It's just, yeah.
I think there's a few shots in Evil Dead that are actually our basement. So, yeah.
Well, we see that often in especially American movies that the concept of the house and the basement has a great role in horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
You have rooms, you have maybe bigger streets than us, you have more room, mm-hmm. and you can explore more of the physical quality of the local quality of a horror movie.
Yeah.
You have nice woods, you can make atmospheric wood shots. Yeah.
Yeah.
So give us a hint. Do you have a next project or a next idea? You don't have to tell much details. But
yeah, I mean, we got a couple of things we're developing with different companies, but and several of our own scripts. But one of the things we're excited about is a werewolf concept, kind of pillaging more of our ideas from our old script, and we kind of have a new way in. I mean, one of the things we get excited about is figuring out ways to take creatures that have been done to death and just revisit them and, find a new twist on them, you know?
Yeah.
So we
always kind of taught, we've throw back the idea back and forth too of also making a sequel to The Wretched. I think being here for some reason at this festival, I've always been kind of like, well, maybe we want to make a sequel, maybe we don't, but I've just had so many good ideas since I've been watching movies here that I think we got a good idea for a sequel if we get a chance to do that too, so.
Well, the audience gives you right. It was the first movie who was sold out at the festival.
And it then was?
Yes, it was totally sold out.
Oh,
and
wow. Okay.
It was fun to watch this creature feature with the audience and get the reaction. And I just not only say that because I have to say it, but I think it was a very nice movie with good effects, with good storytelling. I've seen other creature features who were nice, but not only that. Developed as yours.
Yeah.
And right atmospheric. Keep continuing that, please.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to do our best. So.
So thank you very much, Brad and Drew, for being here with us with Deep Red Radio.
Yeah.
And we wish you all the best for your career.
Thanks for having us.